You're listening to KFEI Fresh Air Community Radio, 90.3 FM HD1 in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and streaming around the world at KFEI.org. Non-commercial, community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFEI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Programming on KFEI is made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners just like you. It is currently 25 degrees Fahrenheit here in the Twin Cities. A little snow, a little colder this weekend. 10 degrees on Saturday and down around 0 to 1 above on Sunday. Stay warm, stay safe. Coming up next, Robert Pilot, Wukunja Hade, with Native Roots Radio, the best of.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wukunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we got a jam-packed show, as always, and we got a couple things we want to talk about before we bring on Ruth Ann of Buffalo. We have Bruce and Melanie Benjamin to discuss. They would not be moved in the enduring struggle of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe to keep the reservation. And that's at 6 p.m. on January 22nd at Next Chapter Bookstore, which is a sponsor. And we hear the ads here on AM 950, Haley.
Yeah, we do. Next Chapter Booksellers in St. Paul off of Snelling there is great. And they're going to be hosting Bruce White and Melanie Benjamin to talk about that book that they have about the Ojibwe Mille Lacs Band not being movable, really. And that's published by the Minnesota Historical Society Press, which is cool. We have known a few great works to come out of the Minnesota Historical Society Press, like Kathy Coates' book about the Ho-Chunk removal in Minnesota called To Banish Forever.
Yeah, you know what? You know what's interesting, Haley, too? I was looking at my phone, and a year ago is when Kathy's book came out, and that we were at on Franklin Avenue at and doing that reading.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to All My Relations Arts and NACDI for hosting that book reading with Kathy Coates last year. That was fun and great turnout, too, by the way. So everyone, if you're in the area in St. Paul on Wednesday, January 22nd, again from at 6 p.m., you'll hear about the 1855 treaty set aside thousands of acres, and that was going to be the permanent home for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. But for those members to hold on to that land, it required some resolute actions and unwavering commitment. You'll hear about that important volume details and how Indigenous communities repeatedly stood up for themselves and won against those overbearing pressures across decades.
You know, one of the things, one of our friends sent us an email, and I'm glad she did, but to remind us about February 14th, Haley, and I know that's a thing that we do, and there seems to be a lot of things going on that day too, but it's definitely the March for the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives March that that happens every year, and we're going to have some guests on before that happens, but it's something really to talk about every week or every day.
Yeah, really. And it's something we do talk about and have a lot of guests that bring a lot of great information, like Anna Negretti from the MMIR Minnesota State Office and Juliet Rudy. But yeah, Valentine's Day every year in Minneapolis, there's the MMIR March, which is Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives. And we just all come together in community and honor our missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, men, boys, Two-Spirit, and LGBTQI plus relatives on February 14th. That'll be from 11 to 2 p.m. at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. It is free and open to the public. You're encouraged to wear red, bring banners, posters, staffs, drums, and rattles, everything you have. This year is sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, like previous years, as well as the Minneapolis American Indian Center, Indian Health Board, Minneapolis, MMIR State Office, NAC, MIWRC, and Wake 'Em Up Productions, as well as Little Earth Protectors, Gatherings Cafe, and Metro Transit.
That's awesome and exciting. Let me just say that it's been happening every year for quite a few years, and the speakers and the people that come and talk are very moving, and it's worth coming. If you can't make it to the march part, make it to the afterwards, where we have a lot of heartfelt people speaking about their relatives that are missing, and some of them are missing, still missing after many, many years. And it's definitely a thing that rattles the Native community because of the lack of awareness to our relatives out there that, you know, are watching the major news. And they're seeing this girl being kidnapped, and it's on every day, and she happens to have blue eyes and blonde hair, and we never hear anything from our own people or happen to our own people that happens way, way too much. And it's a daily occurrence, and there's a lot of reasons behind, and we'll get into that with some experts and guests in the coming weeks, Haley, but it's a shattering realization that that we're really third-class citizens in this country, and they don't take our issues seriously. And so it's good to have this Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives March. And it's every February 14th, and I know I'll be there, and it's just an amazing time and a very spiritual time too, because our relatives are there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know from last year's, it's always very moving. You have relatives come in from out of town who have lost family members who have been murdered or are still missing to this day. And it's really just about coming together, showing support from one another, especially our allies out there. It would mean a lot to have you stand in solidarity with us, especially during that march. And yeah, I know hearing the stories are emotional, but also very powerful. And together we can work on ways, solutions, and how to combat this epidemic, really, that's going on across Turtle Island in our communities.
Yeah, one year when our Uncle Bernie Sanders, was running for president, his wife was there marching with us, and it was amazing to meet her and interview her. She was on the show. And then we also have a crew because our BIPOC relatives in Chicago have the same issue. And we had an African-American group there that comes every year, too, to support and also talk about their relatives that are missing. And it's weird. It's one of those Native things that's a celebration, but it's not really a celebration. And you see people, and you see people in the community, and you see and feel the grieving of the community too at the same time.
Yeah, and like mentioning, more stories being told today around the issue of MMIR, like I want to say, like, some representation was seen in this season's True Detective with Jodie Foster. And Jodie Foster had mentioned it a little bit and how she thanked the stories of Indigenous people in Alaska for sharing what they did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. And I bring this up all the time, Haley, and I'm totally paraphrasing this, but I remember seeing State Representative Heather Keeler speak at the Capitol, and her talk in front of thousands of people was saying that she told her sons that she would never leave them. So yeah. If she's disappeared or gone, please look for me.
Yeah, you know, and that's just something we have to say as Native women.
Yeah, and it's crazy that we do, and it really hit me in the heart that she had to, that she said that, but she also, like you said, have to say that. Hey, we have our good friend Ruth Anna Buffalo coming up next, and it's always good to get updates and see her and talk and get updates. So, hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back, Haley, after this short break.
Stay with us. So,
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, we're going to shake it up here a little bit. This is, all right, we're going to have our sacred animal portion here. And I also mentioned a couple times last week, and I know Wendy was on last week, and I just want to say this too, that how important our sacred animal portion of the show has been these past 8 years and going into season 9, and Wendy being a founder of Native Roots Radio, I just want to hand her over the show here and take it away, Wendy. I remember at one time you had 3 minutes for this segment.
I know. Now I have a lot more minutes, so that I appreciate that. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it is always my pleasure to do that. So on January 9th, we got an update from Howling for Wolves. And this is from Dr. Maureen, who is the founder of Howling for Wolves. And she wants to thank Secretary Holland and Director Williams because they are protecting wolves. Here, I'm just going to read this right here. This week, while it was last week, January 9th, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the FWS, upheld vital Endangered Species Act protections for wolves, rejecting petitions by hunting organizations. I'm not going to go through all the organizations here, to delist wolves in the Western Great Lakes and West Coast regions. We are heartened by this decision, which ensures continued federal safeguards for Great Lake wolves and wolves across the country. By denying the petition, FWS strongly signals that more work is needed to protect wolves before states can take over their recovery. This vital choice reflects leadership grounded in science, ethics, and a commitment to safeguarding wildlife amid mounting environmental threats. We at Howling for Wolves thank Secretary Deb Holland, Director Martha Williams, and the Fish and Wildlife Service for standing firm in defense of sound science and ethical wildlife management. So thank you, Howling for Wolves, for updating. And thank you, Dr. Maureen Hackett, the founder of Howling for Wolves, for all the work that you do. We're going to have to work hard here in Minnesota to continue to protect our wolves here. So we will do that. Yeah. So I figured today we could do some question and answer. I have like five questions that I want to ask you, Robert and Haley, and see if you guys can give me the answers. I was surprised going through this list. I've learned a lot. So let's see. So here's number one. Which animal has the thickest fur of any mammal? So there's three choices. A sea otter, a polar bear, or an Arctic fox.
Sea otter.
Arctic fox. Who has the thickest fur of any mammal?
I'd say sea otter.
Okay. I'm going to say the polar bear then.
Yeah. Robert, you are right. Sea otter.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because they're always wet and cold. Like.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Haley, I thought it was the polar bear as well. So.
Well, the more you know.
Exactly. I think I've talked about this on the show, so we'll see if anyone was paying attention. What is a bird that can fly backwards? A sparrow, a parrot, or a hummingbird?
Hummingbird.
Oh, hummingbird.
Yep, that's right.
Ooh.
We listen, right, Haley?
Oh, yeah, I recognize that one.
You do, right? Okay. This one surprised me as well. Which animal has the strongest sense of smell? Is it a grizzly bear, a great white shark, or an African elephant?
Shark. I would say shark, even though they're breathing or smelling underwater.
Okay. Sense of smell. What do you think?
I'll say shark, too.
Shark. Okay. No, it's the African elephant.
Oh, that was my last choice, probably.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Which animal is known for having 32 brains? Is it a jellyfish, a leech, or an octopus?
Octopus.
Yeah, they have a lot of arms. They might have a lot of brains.
It's a leech.
Really?
A leech has 32
brains. Ew.
I know. Isn't that crazy? What is the term for a group of pandas? Are they called a parliament, an embarrassment, or a congregation?
Parliament.
A parliament. Both of you go for parliament.
Yes.
Yes. A group of pandas is called an embarrassment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Funny. So
I just did pee with the pandas, pee in parliament.
Oh, I see. That was good. Yeah, a lot of those, I got the wrong answer as well. So I'm just going to go through a couple of these things. We just talked about the octopus. Octopus anatomy. And an octopus has three hearts and its blood is blue due to high copper levels. They also have no bones and can squeeze through tiny spaces. If anybody has a chance, take a look, and if you could watch the My Octopus Tour. It was on Netflix. It might be on other... did you watch that with me, Robert? My Octopus.
I sure did.
Yeah, it was such
I got sad at the end.
Yeah, I watched it twice. If you get a chance, check it out. It really shows how smart these animals are. Oh, here's...
I believe it won Academy Award, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. My Octopus Teacher. Polar bear skin. Despite their white fur, polar bears actually have black skin, which helps them absorb heat from the sun in cold climates.
Wow.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, that is true. It's not. So these are just facts now, but yes, these are all going to be true. Robert, I know, right? Isn't it owls aren't a good animal for some tribes, or they have certain beliefs about owls?
Yeah, you see an owl, that means death is coming.
Oh, okay. Well, owls don't have any eyeballs. They have tube-like eyes that can't move in their sockets.
Really?
Okay, that's freaky.
I didn't know that.
I never knew that. Wow.
That's why they got to turn their heads all the way around.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? And you know how, I'm not reading this, but I remember learning about this when we went to the animal sanctuary and they had goats. You know goats, how they have their pupil is like a horizontal line?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the animals that have horizontal lines in their eyes as their pupil are animals of prey. So they're the ones who get eaten. And like a lion and a tiger and a cougar or like animals that are the hunters, a wolf has the eyes with a pupil that are vertical.
What? Oh. I never heard that. Wow, say that again.
So like a goat or an animal that's a prey animal that gets eaten by other animals, their eyes, like if you look at a goat, their pupils are horizontal.
I'm like suddenly forgetting what a goat's eyes look like.
Yeah. Goat eyes. Google yeah. It. Like a tiger or a lion, their pupil vertical.
So okay.
They're the ones who
Does it say why?
I'm not reading it. It's just something that I remembered from something I learned a while ago.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kangaroo babies. A newborn kangaroo is incredibly small, about the size of a jelly bean. And it's called...
True.
Yes, it is true. Do you remember what the baby kangaroo is called?
Joey.
That's right.
What is he called?
Joey.
Joey.
Like Joey?
Yeah.
J-O-E.
Like short for Joseph or something?
Yeah.
It's cute.
So sloths, a lot of people, I love sloths. I like, they're just so slow and...
You married one, didn't you?
It can take a sloth up to 1 month to fully digest a single leaf.
Wow. So every part of them is slow, including their digestive tract.
It seems that way. I can't hear anything, so you guys will have to let me know. A bat flight. Bats are the only mammals that can truly fly. Bats. Like you could see like
squirrel.
But they don't really fly. They jump and they glide, but they don't truly fly. And did you know only female mosquitoes bite?
That makes sense.
Starfish brains don't have a brain. Starfish don't have a brain. And really? Just get a starfish on the beach and just throw it back in. Don't let it dry out.
We got 15 seconds, Wen.
Okay, pig intelligence. Pigs are considered very intelligent and can even be taught to play video games.
What?
I'd like to know that, pig. That's why I don't eat pork. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back. Maybe Wendy has a couple more of these.
I do.
KFAI is proud to present Jordy Greep at the First Avenue Main Room on Monday, January 27th. Jordy Greep's debut solo album boasts a brand of high-quality, all-embracing alternative pop fun not heard in a very long time, walking the line between the ridiculous and the brilliant with a Teflon-coated aplomb. Opening the show is Chicago multi-instrumentalist and songwriter Namdi. Tickets for Jordy Greep can be found at the First Avenue website. Visit first-avenue.com for more details.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Historical Society, preserving and sharing Minnesota's heritage for the benefit of all Minnesotans.
Hey, we are here with our friend Rita Arndt, and she's the program and outreach manager with Native American Initiatives at the Minnesota Historical Society. Welcome, Rita. Really good to see you.
Hello, Robert. Hello, Haley. How are you doing?
Doing good. Hey, I just wanted to, before we get into grilling you, talking to you, I just wanted to say a big peeny geegy. This is our ninth season on Native Roots Radio, and having you as a partner and a guest is really, I just want to say a big peeny geegy, because the only way we do a good show, other than Haley, all of Haley's hard work, is that we have great guests like you.
Well, I'm glad to be a part of it. It's been fun, and it's always fun to talk with the team, because I do bring it up. We have our staff meetings on Tuesday, and I'm like, what should I talk about? Where I said to Haley, so it's a group effort.
Well, and Haley helps me so much. As you know, we don't try it. You know, it's like the Wizard of Oz. We don't want to talk about the person behind the curtain that much, but Haley does a great job to vet out your discussion, so I know what's going on.
Thank you, Robert. Peeny Kiki. I just kind of take Rita's topics and I put them in question form for you.
Thank you so much. Hey, it's here's one of the statements. It's happy 2025, and did you have a great holiday break? I know we haven't seen you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it was great. It was nice and restful, and unfortunately I got sick like so many other people did, but I'm feeling better now. So I was like, I hope both of yours was well too, and that you've been staying away from the sickness, because I know it's still going around.
Yeah, we over here at the Pilot Mansion, we had a Christmas sickness, and then Wendy had like, I had like 48-hour flu, and she had like twice as long as that, but we're all better now, and it was pretty devastating that we got the norovirus flu we had.
Yeah,
so hopefully I just got back from New York, so hopefully, I know a lot of people that travel get sick too, so hopefully I'll be okay and not get my dog sick here, because her and I are hanging out.
Yes, I hope you don't get your dog sick either.
Hey, you know, we talked a little bit about reconnecting our roots, the program, and that you offer. Can you remind our listeners out there who can be a part of this program and how to apply?
Sure. Our Reconnecting Our Roots is our teen program that we offer at the Minnesota Historical Society, targeted for Native teens, specifically in high school, to be able to learn more about their history and culture. So sometimes we do meet at the History Center in St. Paul, but there's also, we'll go to the James J. Hill House to do some art activities. We'll go have a cooking demo and stuff like that. And you can go to our website, to mnhs.org/NAI, to find more information about Reconnecting Our Roots and how to apply.
You know, there's some exciting news going on at the Minnesota Historical Society, and I am a big fan of podcasts, and I know you have one that's called Minnesota Unraveled, and that's kind of reminds me of, how I feel sometimes, but it's a great name of it. name of a podcast.
Yeah, so the Minnesota Historical Society has, like, finally decided to become part of the podcast crew, and I'm like super excited about it, and they just started it not too long ago, and I just wanted to share it with all of your listeners too, because they're really interested in talking about the different histories of Minnesota that people don't know about, and to really, that's why the unraveling, to really talk with experts in those specific fields, people from the community, to really get those first person stories, and like to really also use our historic evidence to talk about these different things. And it's just really fun. And the one that I'm excited about that had just come out is about the history of bison in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And it's their first two-parter too, which I think is really exciting, because I'm like, of course they need two parts to talk about the buffalo, because they should.
Right. Well, and they were here, and now there's tribes are bringing them back and have been on again, off again the last 10, 15 years. And that's really exciting, and it's a lot of work though too.
Yeah, in the podcast, it dives deep into that, thinking about what the cultural landscape of Minnesota looked like prior to colonization and using what those early explorers talked about when they came across the bison and the buffalo and what that looked like, and really thinking about what that reintroduction looks like for our communities, because it's not an easy transition to just be like, oh, here's the bison. We need to get the prairies back. We need to make sure that they have a place to sustain and to thrive, and that the landscape has changed so much since they were almost eradicated. So they dive deep into that, and I really appreciate that as well.
You know, during, you know, we were talking about the show started 9 years ago, and during Standing Rock, we were down there one weekend. We went long weekends, Wendy and I, and brought supplies. And just in the middle of the day, out of the clear blue, there was like 150 to 200 bison that just went flying by. And it was just, you could feel it. It was, you could feel it in your heart. You could feel it and hear it and see it. And it was unbelievable sight. These majestic animals is unbelievable.
And I think that's something that a lot of people just assume, that buffalo were out more out west, and not understanding like that they did live in what is now Minnesota, and they had a space here, even in not all the prairie spaces too. They were in the woods as well. So it's kind of weird to think about because you're so used to this imagery. So I really appreciate that they talk about that, all different aspects of our history, how Minnesota ties with the buffalo, and including Native voices as well.
Yeah, well, we'll be excited to listen to that. And I know Haley will share it on Native Roots Radio Facebook page. And when it comes out, she does a great job of putting out information on our page here. And it'll be great to listen to. And maybe we can get some of the guests on to promote that and have you take over the show and grill them.
I was like, I don't know about that. We have our senior historian, Chantel Rodriguez, at the Historical Society. She's the host of the podcast, and she, one, has a very soothing voice, but she's also a really great collaborator. I'm lucky to be able to work with her on so many projects, and it's a great thing. So to be able to see and how she's working with this podcast and like helping her reach communities. That's another thing. We're actually meeting tomorrow morning to talk about the next episodes, to think about topic ideas, who we should talk about, all these things. And I was thinking about coming on here and be like, you know what? We should talk about Ho-Chunk history, and who would be better to talk about that than you, Mr. Pilot.
Yeah. And with the book that came out, Haley mentioned earlier in the show too about Banish, which, the numbers came in after a year and were astounding, how many books were sold by Kathy Coates, and just the support that the Minnesota Historical Society had on that whole story, and her story about, you know, it was a college paper for her master's and turned into a book, and a really popular book for the Minnesota Historical Society and Kathy.
Yeah, and that's something that us at MNHS, they want to be able to have those collaborations more, to be able to get the right people telling the right stories and understanding, you know, and be like, maybe it's not the people that you think about that are, you would normally think about, are the ones who actually know all of the details and can really dive deep into those conversations. So I think having places like the press and the podcast to be able to just go a little deeper than what we can do in some of our exhibits and other spaces, that to share our history, because it's so vast.
I love history too. And you have to read it by working there. I really love history, and it's not a straight line. There's a lot of curves and angles and things like that to get where we are. And I always think of my life too, connecting the dots backwards. It's amazing when you do that, but as a whole state doing that, it's daunting. But you guys have been doing it for quite a few years, and it sounds like you're going to get more information out and make it easier for people to delve into our history here in Minnesota.
Yeah, I love podcasts. So I think, and they're nice and digestible episodes too. They're not too long. So it's like you get a deep dive into these topics. So I look forward to what else we can incorporate. And maybe I was like, I have a feeling I'm going to get roped into being part of it at some point. But at the same time, I have, you know, like I have a lot of knowledge, especially about Ojibwe and what my White Earth Nation to really share some of those stories. And there's so many neat stories in our communities that I just want to share. And so I look forward to that opportunity to be able to do that in different spaces.
Yeah. And there's not only reminding the Native community about a history like from White Earth and Ho-Chunk and Dunhuaq and Sioux and all the 11 tribes that are here, but to our allies that really appreciate real news as opposed to fake news, but to real history about really the way things were, because it's amazing. You know, I had no idea, and I know I heard this years ago, but a lot of our main roads in Minnesota were main roads for our Native relatives, and they just latched onto them and paved over them, but they've been using the same roads for centuries and centuries.
And I think there's a lot of influence on thinking about just place names, for example, and thinking of where some of our cities are named after. There's so many indigenous words that I don't think people realize are indigenous. And some of them have become a little very Americanized. Mm-hmm. But you can come back to be like, well, why do they name it this? And then, oh, that's an Ojibwe word. Cool. And what does that mean? And thinking about that connection. And usually it ends up being just a description of the area, like White Earth is Gwaba Begunakug, White Earth. I mean, it's a little deeper than that, but at the same time, it's just very descriptive of what the land was like up there. So I think I love all that kinds of stuff because I just think it's neat. And it's a way for people to connect to on those spaces.
Ho! Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back. Ho!
This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, I do. Hey, we are here with our friend and Ho-Chunk citizen, Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. And, well, let's check in on what's happening with Emerge and what's going on. And tell our listening audience, because we get people all over the country jumping on and listening on all our different platforms. And maybe you can just fill people in first on what Emerge Wisconsin is.
Yeah, Emerge Wisconsin is an organization that trains and recruits Democratic women and trains them on how to run for office. We have been doing this here in Wisconsin for almost 15 years, I believe. We're one of the earlier states, and we have over 300 alums that have been trained through our statewide training program.
Yes, and you had some candidates this last cycle,
we did. Our candidates in the fall general election won at a rate of 92%. So we're pretty pleased with that result.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Were you an Emerge person when you ran for city council?
Yes, I had done Emerge in 2014, which was about 3 years before I ran for city council. And honestly, I don't know if I would have run had I not done Emerge. Mm-hmm. So it got me there. It got me to yes to run.
Yeah. That's awesome. And just for people that don't know about Arvina Martin, she's the first Native American city council member in the history of the great city of Madison, Wisconsin. And as we were talking earlier, Haley and I love the city of Madison. I would live there if I wasn't here in New York or St. Paul.
Yeah, and Madison's pretty great. And, you know, I love my home. And, you know, there's going to actually we're having city council elections this year. So or this spring, rather. So all of Madison's alders are up for re-election there. And there are 20. And yeah, so every single one up for re-election. The mayor is not up herself. She has a four-year term. That's going to be some stuff that's on our ballot here in Madison in the spring.
Yeah, that's exciting. And I love when I lived in Madison the first time, regular cars could drive on State Street. That's how old I am.
I've never seen that.
No, I'm a lot older than you, Arvina. That was the 70s. That was the 70s when I lived there.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. It's a lot different now. And it's even a lot different. Like the State Street area is much different than, you know, it was before the pandemic. And it still kind of surprises me going down there, you know, how it's mostly now restaurants and bars and not so many quirky shops and things right. like that. But, you know, things evolve and that's okay. And to fit the needs of the community, we need more cafes and restaurants. That's not bad.
You know, what's fun too is one of our sister stations is on State Street now, and that's Devil Advocate Radio is on their studios on State Street, a couple blocks from the Capitol. And whenever I'm in Madison, I stop in and say hello, so they say hello back. Oh,
yeah, those guys have been around for a while. They, you know, I think they came up during the Act 10 protests about the ending of public unions in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that was heavy duty. That was heavy duty. People were sleeping and staying in the Capitol, right?
There were, it was really exciting. I was an intern for like the Democratic Party, and that was my first job, was as a comms intern. So I was there taking pictures and, you know, talking to people and writing things down that we could use and for social media or anything. And it was absolutely wild, and seeing how people were taking care of each other, whether, you know, people bringing in like protein bars or pallets of like Gatorade, and like everybody knew where to go pick some stuff up, or if you needed first aid, you know, there were Band-Aids and things to wipe things off and everything. You know, it was quite the remarkable experience. And I brought my daughter, who at the time was like maybe three, and there was no violence. It was all just a lot of, you know, shouting and walking and everything and sign carrying, you know, on the outside, as opposed to the inside where people were trying to speak with their representatives and senators and trying to, you know, affect what was happening at the time.
You know, it also reminds me, shortly after that was Save the Mound, and we came with busloads of Ho-Chunk from Minnesota with a couple of busloads full. And I remember it was really cold, and we marched around the Capitol and kind of powwowed in the Capitol, and there were speakers. And then we had to leave at a certain time. And then on our way back to the Twin Cities, we heard that the bill had been defeated.
Yeah, the thing I remember the most about that day was how cold it was. And I was so prepared and so layered. And then my toe warmers didn't work. They never kicked in. So that was a little rough. But the crowd that day was very, you know, excited. It wasn't a crowd of people that was sitting there huddling because they were cold, you know, like there was movement, there was activity, there was all kinds of, you know, like you said, coming in. I remember I think it was hearing the Bear Clan song as we went in and just being like, that sound, you know, in that cavernous space is just so, I just love the way our song sound in that building, and hearing the Bear Clan song come in was a pretty powerful moment as well.
Yeah, I definitely. And then I always remember getting off the bus and there was pizza, but it was so cold. The pizza was already cold when we got.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Remember, they were, I think Ho-Chunk was feeding us.
That sounds about right. I think so. And I know we got T-shirts because I have mine somewhere. Yeah.
I still have a big sign. It's out in my garage. I think I'm going to give it to Haley because she collects signs in her garage. She gave it some stuff.
Thank you.
Save the Mound, and it's got a picture of the mounds on there. It's, I'll definitely bring that over soon.
Yeah, they're still protesting things like that, even here in Minnesota along the St. Croix.
Oh, with the mounds?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's, you know, we talked to over the years, Arvina and Haley, with people from the Minnesota Historical Society that know where certain mounds are up north here, and they won't tell people because they don't want them desecrated. And part of me is like, oh, God, I wish I could go up there and see it, but I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. We ran into that when I was on the historic preservation or the board commission in Madison, and working with our historic preservation officer. You know, she taught me about that, about how they keep those sites, like, and even when they're potentially like in an argument about like what to do with a property, like there's a zone, it'll say this is the zone of possibility, as I think that's what the term is, of like there being a mound there, rather than saying the mound is right here. So that people will not mess with it. And you're right. It's too bad that there aren't any kind of concessions for, I mean, I don't know how you would do it to be able to like only let Native people come visit these sites, you know, because of what they mean to us. I don't know how you could pull that off.
Right. Well, right. Because people that probably even live in the area don't realize it's there. That's how I kind of understood it. And but they were up there studying it and taking pictures and probably drawing what they are. And we have that famous man mound in Wisconsin, and I know there's talk about possibly diverting the road, because right now the legs are cut off because the road went right through them.
Yeah, and they actually have the legs painted on the road.
Yeah.
I don't know if you. Yeah, so yeah. It's kind of like a nice acknowledgement, but kind of cruel too. That it's just like, right. Yep, this is where it was. Here's the white paint.
Yeah,
and so I remember going when it was declared a historic site. And there was like a big ceremony and everything, and yep, there he is with his
little painted legs.
He's cut off like right above the knees, it seems like.
Yeah. Right below the knee. Looks like below the knees, but yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that was quick, Haley. That's amazing that you got it up there that quick, but also amazing picture. Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw a picture of that a couple days ago, and I was just astonished that they painted the legs on.
Well, and then what good is it now to divert the road around it? I mean, things are probably that were there, whether they were our ancestors buried there or whatever, are no longer there because there's a road there. That's too bad, because it's a very cool looking mound.
Yeah, actually, when we were at that historic site dedication day, they had some folks there from the U.S. historic chamber or one of those kinds of groups. And I raised my hand to ask when they had questions. I'm like, can we get this listed on the UNESCO World Heritage site? You know, as a national, you know, I mean, it's the only example on the planet, I believe, of, you know, a human person, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's the only one of its kind, and it's part of our human history. We should care about that being destroyed as much as we cared about the fire at Notre Dame Cathedral
right.
several years ago. I mean, like, this is it's important, and it's important to the history of people who are not Native as well, like as Wisconsinites and Minnesotans. You know, those are part of our shared history as well.
I know. I noticed the man kind of had Viking horns, you know. No, just kidding. hey, Arvina, we got 30 seconds here. Give out some information on how we can get a hold of you on Emerge Wisconsin and your website.
Absolutely. Our website is wi.emergeamerica.org. And you can email me at Arvina, A-R-V-I-N-A, at emergewi.org.
Always so great to see you and have you on the show. Happy ninth. This is our ninth season on the
Yay!
Air, and you're a big part of it. And I want to just say a big pinigigi for coming on and sharing with us and our audience. They love you. We hear about you all the time.
Hijon kichushkuni. Yay!
Pinigigi, we'll see you.
KFAI is proud to sponsor Everyone Under the Sun, a celebration of unity and love presented by Bruce A. Henry at the Dakota on Saturday, January 18th. Renowned vocalist Bruce A. Henry invites audiences to join a transformative evening of soul-stirring music, camaraderie, and inspiration. Everyone Under the Sun features an eclectic blend of original music, soul, jazz, and folk melodies. This talented ensemble would create a musical experience designed to inspire, uplift, and to build a sense of unity that only Bruce can bring. Tickets for Everyone Under the Sun can be found at the Dakota website. Visit dakotacooks.com for more details.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! You had to take that big, deep breath to howl, and in the middle of a sentence, I do that all the time.
Yeah, thanks for noticing.
Yeah, hey, we've had an awesome show here, and I'd love to, you know, in this last segment, get our weekly update, Haley, from the governor of Wisconsin. And let's take a quick listen for our weekly update from Governor Evers.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Just a few weeks ago here, a deadly, heartbreaking school shooting at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison shocked our state, taking the lives of two, injuring six others, and affecting countless more. As a father, grandfather, and as governor, it is unthinkable that a kid and an educator woke up and went to school that morning and never came home. It should never happen. Not to any kid, not to any educator, not to any person or family, not in the state or anywhere else in this country. I've said from the beginning that I would never accept gun violence as a foregone reality or stop working to change it. That's why this week I announced I'll be proposing common sense gun safety reform efforts in our next budget to help address crime, reduce gun violence, and keep our kids, schools, and communities safe. I also signed an executive order this week creating a statewide Office of Violence Prevention. Our statewide Office of Violence Prevention will work with local partners, including law enforcement agencies, nonprofits, school districts, local governments, and even gun shop owners and firearm dealers to support violence prevention efforts and reduce gun violence across Wisconsin. I'm directing $10 million to make sure the statewide Office of Violence Prevention can begin its work immediately and provide grants to support law enforcement investigations, expand suicide prevention and threat assessment programming, promote safe storage and gun buyback programs, and invest in after-school programs to keep kids out of trouble and out of harm's way. Gun violence affects rural and urban areas alike and is a statewide problem with statewide consequences for people and families across our state. This issue has long deserved a comprehensive statewide response. As we begin a new year, preventing crime, gun violence, and preventing violence in all its forms must be a top priority that transcends partisanship, and I am hopeful that these efforts will finally see bipartisan support this legislative session. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Well, thank you, Governor Evers. And we put some tobacco out and some prayers for that shooting in that school in Madison, Wisconsin, and made national news. And our prayers go out to the families and the victims and the victims' families. Very important information from the governor here. Hey, so to change tones here a little bit, you know, we have want to talk a little bit about the big auntie energy happening here at the Parkway Theater coming up on January 24th.
Yeah, that'll be with it's going to be Ojibwe Trio. You're going to hear some comedy stand up from Deanna Standing Cloud, as well as Trish Cook. And a couple more, but that'll be this Friday or maybe next Friday.
Next Friday.
Yeah, no, January 24th.
Sounds like me confused there for a minute. I'm rubbing off on you. It's awesome.
I know. Probably we were hanging out today. That's why.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But, so it's at the Parkway Theater in Minneapolis on Friday, January 24th, 6:30. The doors open and the show starts at 7:30. Join them for an evening of Native humor. And that's Trish Cook and Rob Fairbanks and Deanna Standing Cloud. And they have a host, Gabriel Nightshield. So that'll be interesting. Four people up there telling, spitting out some jokes. And it's open to everyone. It's a reasonable cost. And I got to tell you, Haley, I've gone to the last couple of them and they were all sold out.
Yeah. No, that's the word around Franklin Avenue is that this sells out every time. People love the big auntie energy. But if you are unable to attend on Friday, January 24th, I know they'll be doing a Valentine's Day a comedy show in St. Paul, I think at Indigenous Roots Cultural Center, I think. Yeah, Valentine's Day the 14th in the evening. So save the date. You want to come join us in Minneapolis for the MMIR, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives March, which happens every year on Valentine's Day. Brings awareness to our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives and their families. You'll hear speak as well. A lot of stuff going on that day on February 14th. Hey, this weekend, Robert.
Yes.
Cool thing going on. Powwow. One of our favorites.
Yes. Yeah, that's up north, I guess, right? Just getting some information on that. I know one of the things I have to just change gears before we start talking about the
go ahead.
The powwow is that I will be at the Capitol. And there's it's not the Women's March, but it's a march to the Capitol this Saturday, and I will be there.
And is that so the People's March?
Exactly. Thank you. And okay. I'll be there. And I think they line up at St. Paul College around 11:30 and they end up at the Capitol at noon, and there'll be speakers and AM 950 will be tabling up there. So I'll be up there handing out, stickers and talking to people, and that'll be indoors. They'll move it into indoors because it will be a little chilly tomorrow. So I just wanted to give I just thought of that, and I wanted to give a shout out that I will be there, and maybe we can talk Haley into putting on her earmuffs and coming out there too.
Yeah, hey, we could show up with a couple of friends and a group of people. It's always fun when you do it together. Thanks for reminding me of that, though. Yeah, that's a big one. The People's March, I think, is what it's called. But
right.
A lot of communities are represented in this march. Come on out, join your neighbors. That'll be fun.
And it's organized from the people after last time Trump won the Women's March. So if you remember that was all over the country, but it was a tremendous amount of people up there with their hats and stuff.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. Definitely show up. Thanks for that reminder.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the powwow up north there on this weekend.
For sure. So powwows are one of my favorite things, especially in the winter, because we have so many powwows in the summer. We need them in the winter, too. This is Gitche Manidu Gizis, which is Great Spirit Moon.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.